So thank you very much indeed. Well, you might like to keep that second reading open, Romans chapter 4, and also do pick up one of these pieces of paper which are on the white tables for a very brief outline, but an outline nonetheless. So you might like to have that in front of you. But as we pray, as we come to God's word, let me lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, as we take some time now to dwell, to think about who you are, about your character, your desires, your might, your power, please would you shape our understanding of you, and would you grow and strengthen our faith in you, our life-giving, powerful Creator God. Amen. Well, right now, as I speak, in St. Michael's Fulwell, as you saw on the video, there is nothing going on. It is an empty, derelict building. It's mostly stripped bare. There are a few random pews left that no one wanted, looking slightly worse for wear. There are a few random objects just sort of dotted around the church. There's an old bike, if anyone's looking for one. There is a coffee cup left over from years ago. 14 years ago, the church was shut. And there's still a coffee cup looking a little bit dodgy in one corner. There are broken windows and glass on the floor. There's a 1980 Sega arcade game, which sadly no longer works. And the only living things that have been in and out of that building in the last 14 years, apart from me, in the last few days and months, have been birds, sparrows, robins, coming in and out through the broken windows, leaving their mark, it has to be said. But that's something that we can clear up later. That is what's happening right now in St. Michael's Fulwell. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet in Teddington, in that corner of London, just as in Fulham, in southwest London as a whole, there is loads of stuff going on. It's a busy place. People are living life, enjoying a Sunday, balmy Sunday evening in July. There'll be people filling the pubs of Teddington this evening. There'll be people in Bushy Park following the footsteps of Mo Farah, who trained there, running round and round. I've never seen so many runners as there are in Bushy Park. It's really quite off-putting, it has to be said. There'll be people cycling. There'll be people walking their dogs. And there'll be people at home getting ready for another working week. And of the people living in the Teddington area, it's estimated that at least 95% never regularly walk through the doors of a church. A vast majority of those, not a thought of God, just getting on with their life. And that sort of leads to a question that has been in my mind for the past few months as this opportunity has emerged. And that is this: what makes me think, what makes us as a church planting this church, what makes us think that any of these people in Teddington getting on with their normal Sunday evening might, in the years to come, end up at St. Michael's Fulwell, in that church building, gathered together, praising God, hearing from his word? What makes us think that that is actually a serious option, that that actually might happen? What makes us think that it is worth our lives moving down there to try and bring this dead church back to life? Why could that possibly happen? Why are we at St. Peter's pouring resources into this plant? Why are we doing that? Particularly, you know, the cultural narrative is that the church is dying and it's just in steady decline. And that God, at best, is an irrelevance. At worst, is a nuisance. Why, against that sort of backdrop, do we seriously think that we can plant a new church out of nothing? Bring a dead church back to life? Well, the answer you might have seen is in the reading that we've just had. And it's not because of me, it's not because of us, it's because of the God in whom we believe. And there's one verse that's really stuck to me. Sometimes a verse of scripture just pops out and it sticks to you. And it seems particularly relevant at a particular time. And this verse is chapter 4, verse 17 of Romans. It's a verse that especially has resonated with me. It's written in the context of Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham, who believed in the God who we Christians believe in. And this is a wonderful description of who this God is. Second half of verse 17, we read this. He is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. I've just got 2 points, as you can see on that brief outline. Actually, they're really one point. They make the same point. And we'll spend most of our time thinking about the first point. And that is this. We believe in the God who gives life to the dead. The God who gives life to the dead. If you've been following the news, and I guess most of us will have come across this past week, death has been in the news this week. At the end of last week in the House of Lords, there was a significant debate on euthanasia. And then, of course, as we'll all know, this last week, there's been the tragic shooting down of that flight, MH17, going over eastern Ukraine. 298 people dead, many of them children. And it is a particularly shocking thing, isn't it? It's particularly grabbed our attention, I guess, because those are people doing the sort of things that we might easily be doing ourselves, doing the type of thing we do all the time, get into planes, fly somewhere. And these people, they'd have been living life completely normally, as we'd have done one moment, and then the next moment, catastrophe and death. And I wonder if one of the reasons why that has particularly shocked us this week is the fact that it's reminded us of our vulnerability. The fact it's reminded us of our mortality. How easy it is to be living life completely normal one moment and then the next facing death. When we were down in Teddington a few weeks ago, we were wandering as a family from the church, St. Michael's Fulwell, down into Teddington High Street. And we found ourselves walking through the cemetery, this enormous, great, big cemetery that is in Teddington. We'd spent the day around Teddington and Bushy Park, seeing all this life around us. And it was a very sobering reminder of the reality of death in our lives. There were these graves of people over the last 150 years who've died right up until just a few days earlier. A very fresh-looking grave, fresh flowers still on it, shiny tombstone. Someone died just a few days earlier and was buried there. And I guess that in all the life that we live, cemeteries, the news, and examples like that flight going down, reminds us that death is real. And death is a huge problem. It's a huge problem for people down in Teddington. It's a huge problem for people here in Fulham. We are mortal. And the Bible says that our physical mortality is entirely connected to our spiritual mortality. Our physical death is entirely connected to our spiritual death. Because we live in a world that has fundamentally turned away from God. God, who is the source of all life. And therefore, if we moved away from God and rejected God, we've rejected the source of life. And so, inevitably, we're looking at death, spiritual death, and also physical death. That is the consequences of our rebellion, of our rejection of God. And so we, as people, are dead. Left to ourselves, we are dead. It's struck me that St. Michael's as a church, and we've got a slide coming up of the outside of the church, which, when you initially look at it, it looks completely normal, like a normal living church. The one part of the church they've looked after is the grass and the garden outside, or the football pitch, as my youngest son likes to call it. It all looks normal. It looks alive. And yet on the inside, as the next slide shows, it is desolate. It is derelict. There is nothing in there. It is dead. And in many ways, that's a description of the human condition, as we have life on the outside, yet on the inside, left to ourselves, we are dead. And one day we will physically die. Which is why this news of who God really is in chapter 4, verse 17, is so extraordinarily important. It is just the news that we need to hear. It is just the news that people in Fulham need to hear. It's just the news that people in Teddington need to hear. That God is the God who gives life to the dead. He gives life to the dead. Now, when we turn to Christ and put our trust in him, we receive spiritual life once more. And the promise is that in the future, in the new creation, in heaven, we'll be given physical life. Eternal physical life with God. And that is the Christian message. That is the Christian gospel. That life is on offer to those facing death. It is at the very heart of what we are about as a church at St. Peter's. The strapline for St. Peter's is to be a gospel-centered community for the heart of Fulham and beyond. A gospel-centered. We want this good news of life that is found in Jesus Christ to be at the very center of who we are. We also want that to be the case at St. Michael's. As we go to St. Michael's and say, you can tell how much brain power I put into this. But the strapline for St. Michael's is to rebuild a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington and beyond. Because just like here, we want to be a church that has this good news, this amazing news, this life-giving news of a God who gives life to the dead to be at the very center of who we are. And yet we might be thinking, well, that sounds great. Brilliant, brilliant sort of words to be able to say. But isn't that just pie in the sky when we die? Is there actual reality to that? Do we actually believe that? At which point, we need to look at the life of Jesus, who walked on this planet, God walking on this planet 2,000 years ago, and to see what he came to do. And you might like to turn back to page 1035, to Luke chapter 7. And we see here this beautiful picture of who Jesus is, what he's like, what God is like. And we pick up a scene in Luke chapter 7 on page 1035 of Jesus turning up at a town, this town Nain. And he turns up, he's got a huge entourage around him. But as he's coming to the gates of this town, another huge entourage of people are coming out. And it turns out that it's a funeral procession. A funeral procession for a man who has died, the only son of a widow. It's a particularly tragic scene as this widow is left helpless now that not only her husband's died, but also her son. And we see how the Lord Jesus reacts in verse 13. Have a look at verse 13 with me. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. And he said, don't cry. We see there the compassion of Jesus. Seeing humanity facing the reality of death. Jesus' heart is one of compassion. It's a beautiful picture of his heart. But it is more than just Jesus' compassion. It is wonderful that Jesus is compassionate. But wonderful also is that he can do something about it. And we see that in verse 14. Pick it up in verse 14 with me. Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The young man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Not only does Jesus have compassion, but he also has power. Power to give life to the dead. We see that in Jesus' life. And that's just there as a foretaste. Just a small glimpse of what he's going to do on a cosmic scale in the new creation. Giving life to the dead. And this is the story of not just the son of this widow. It's the story of every Christian who has received life, spiritual life now, and one day physical life from Jesus Christ. Though we are dead, there is life in him. And it's one of the joys of the last few years here at St. Peter's, is to see that life taking shape in people's lives, both as individuals, but also us as a church. One of the most thrilling things has been to see people become Christians. People receive that life for themselves, to move from death to life. I don't know if you were here a few months ago. We had some wonderful baptisms and confirmations last February. Just a wonderful testimony as people spoke of how Jesus has brought life to them. But we've also seen it collectively as a church. This evening, we are small in number. People are off on holiday and on all sorts of camps. But this evening congregation, normally numbers is not important, but it's sort of 40, 50 people, something like that these days. Only about 2 years or so, 2.5 years or so ago, this didn't exist, did not even exist as an evening congregation. And then just a few people started it up. And God has grown it. God has given life to this. God is in the business of giving life to the dead. And as we head off to Tennington, that is a huge encouragement to us that he can do the same again with his church there. So that's the first point. God gives life to the dead. The second point is exactly the same point, but it's put slightly differently here in the second part of that verse. We believe in the God who creates out of nothing. The God who creates out of nothing. We see that again in verse 17 of chapter 4. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. God creates. Humans create. Humans are amazingly creative. We were having a picnic earlier, some of you were there, down in Fulham Palace, one of my absolute favourite places in Fulham. And I don't know if you've been into the walled garden in Fulham, but a few years ago that was absolutely derelict and dead as a garden. Yet over the last few years, gardeners have worked incredibly hard on it and they've created a wonderful garden. But the thing about human beings when they create something like that is that they use stuff. So gardeners use seed and soil and water and the sun and the wall and all the rest of it to create this beautiful walled garden. Creating something out of something. The thing about God and his creativity is that he takes it to a whole new level. Because God is able to create out of nothing. Out of absolutely nothing. He's been doing that from the very beginning of time. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, we read of God who made everything out of nothing. Everything out of nothing. And then throughout the story of the Bible, we see him doing it time and time again. And in fact, Romans chapter 4 comes in the context of one such time in which he did that, where it speaks of Abraham, who was 100 years old, and his wife was 90, and yet he had received a promise from God that he would become a father of many, a father of a great nation. And yet, the chance of them having children were absolutely zero. Her womb was dead. They were almost dead. There was nothing there. And yet, God created something, someone, Isaac, their son, miraculously for them. Creates out of nothing. And he continues to do that now. And one of the main ways he does that today is creating new churches out of nothing. He's been doing that throughout history. Church planting is nothing unusual. In fact, every single church that exists is a church that came out of nothing. It's a church plant, as we call them. So here at St. Peter's, this church was started, was planted in 1882. That map over there you'll see is 1892, 10 years into when this church was planted. And St. Michael's Fulwell, at the moment there is nothing there, but God, who creates something out of nothing, we pray, will plant another church down there. It's what he's in the business of doing. And it's been thrilling, actually, with St. Michael's, to see how he's begun to bring together something out of nothing already in the past few months. We've got a terrific team of 12 people and counting, 12 adults and counting, and 7 children. Come out of nowhere, it feels, but God has, in his goodness, brought together this little team to plant this small church. So that's been a huge encouragement to me, to see that and to believe this, to know that God is the God who gives life to the dead and creates out of nothing. And as I close, just 2 applications from this that I'd love to encourage us with this evening. And the first is this: to be ambitious. To be ambitious for the Lord. God is able and willing to give life to the dead and create out of nothing. And so there should be no limits to our ambition under God. It is thrilling. One of the most thrilling parts of being part of this church is the desire to plant new churches. We're part of a wider network of churches called the Commission Network that's committed to church planting. That is such a good thing to be doing. That is putting our confidence in the God who's able to create out of nothing. And I pray that this won't be the first plant that St. Peter's does, that this will be the first of many plants that St. Peter's does. I pray that St. Michael's won't just be a church plant, but will be a church planting plant, that in years to come, many churches will come out of St. Michael's. And I believe that can happen because I believe in the God who gives life to the dead and creates out of nothing. But that godly ambition, that isn't just confined to church planting too. I have no doubt that in our own lives, we can think of people who just seem dead to God. Perhaps people who are particularly close to you, and therefore it's particularly painful. Family, dear friends, who are just not interested in God. And you're left at times despairing, thinking, how ever would they come to know Jesus Christ for themselves? How is that possibly? I just cannot imagine that ever happening. Well, can I encourage you not to lose hope, not to stop praying for them? Not because you're dependent on your gifts or abilities to bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, but because you know what God is like, that God brings life to the dead, that he creates out of nothing. No one, therefore, is beyond his power and his compassion to change. That's the first application. Be ambitious under God. And the second is this: but in that ambition, always know where we are to place our confidence. In that ambition, always know where we should place our confidence. One of the implications of the fact that God is able to create out of nothing is that he doesn't actually need us. We are not necessary for God's work to be done in this world, because he can do anything. He can do everything out of nothing. And yet graciously, he chooses to use our efforts to do his work, which is a wonderful blessing for us. But the point for us to remember is that it is him and him alone who brings the dead back to life, who brings things into being that are of eternal worth. And that is important for us to remember here at St. Peter's. One of the, as I've sort of commented, intimated already, St. Peter's is full of able and talented people. We have a hugely gifted and generous and united and loving church family. It's been a huge blessing for us to be part of that. We have a tremendously talented and hardworking and fun staff team. We have an outstanding leader in Rue. And we even now have an upgrade in the curate. As the old goes out, the new comes in. All those things are absolutely true here at St. Peter's. And yet, none of those things are able to bring life to the dead. None of those things, none of us can do that. That is God's work and his alone. And so we're to depend on him and him alone to do that. And as we go to St. Michael's, we need to remember that as well. There's a picture coming up of some of the people heading off to St. Michael's. You need to shield your eyes from some of those photos. But some of the fantastic team that is heading down there. A gifted, motivated, committed, godly bunch of people. And even with those guys, and even with the wonderfully generous support that we're receiving from St. Peter's, even with that, we're not able to do anything of eternal value on our own. We cannot bring life to the dead. Only God can do that. We're to depend on him alone. And one of the implications of that is that we're to pray to him. And we're going to do that as we close now. We're going to take the opportunity to pray together in our tables, around our tables, in our small groups, to pray for what we've been thinking about, to give thanks to God for what we've been thinking about. First, there's going to be a chance to discuss what we've been hearing. We'll just spend a couple of minutes doing that in our small groups. And then after a couple of minutes, I'll ask you to turn those discussions into praying. And up on the screen again, there are some suggestions of the sort of things you might like to pray for. To give thanks for all the signs of life that there are here at St. Peter's. So many signs of God being at work in the lives of individuals, in the lives of different things, different ministries going on. So much to give thanks for. One thing we're particularly giving thanks for this past week, which you might have come across, you might not have come across, but there's a new school, Fulham Boys School, which was due to open in September. It's going to be a Christian school. It's got a fantastic Christian head. The chairman of the governors is a member here at St. Peter's. It's a really exciting initiative. And yet a few weeks ago, the plug was pulled from it. And the Department of Education said it couldn't happen and refused to give funding for it. And yet, wonderfully, this past week, miraculously, that decision has been reversed, which is something to give enormous thanks for. That has so much potential to bring this life-giving news to many, many boys and families in Fulham. So we're giving thanks for that. But please pray for our continued growth here at St. Peter's and for growth down in Tennington at St. Michael's, that many who this evening have no idea where life is to be found, have no idea of this God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, that many might be reached through what we do here and what we do down at St. Michael's as well. So let's be praying for those things. But first, why don't we turn into our tables for some time to chat, discuss, and then I'll call us to pray.